You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
I was in traffic a few minutes ago. I was behind this guy that had a license plate, a novelty plate that just said Harambe. Ruined my whole day.
Ugh.
It's wow. Like, you know, I guess it was funny for about 10 minutes, but that kind of thing doesn't age properly. Like, you know, it's not classic like my Mr. T ate my balls tattoo.
Was Harambe really funny for 10 minutes?
No. It was immediately, like, picked up by the worst shitheads. Like, you know, people that think saying Bazinga is a substitute for, like, a joke. You know, the Ben Shapiro types.
I don't know if the Ben Shapiro types say Bazinga is a good substitute for a joke, because I feel like, you know, that show that's not Third Rock from the Sun, whatever it's called, I feel like that's kind of like a pure boomer level regular ass show. I don't think they like it. I think they're too busy watching, you know, anime and just horrible weeby shit all the time.
That's fair. I think that it's unfair to compare Third Rock from the Sun with the Big Bang Theory, simply because
that was it.
There's a higher, much higher concept going on with Third Rock from the Sun. You know, you have actual aliens, which I think is far more creative than the guy. The punchline, I guess, is that he has Asperger's.
Yeah, it's like the Chuck. Was it Chuck Berry who wrote all these shows?
No, Chuck Berry is the guy that recorded women shitting in his chain of chicken restaurants.
Okay, so Johnny be good.
Oh yeah. To be fair, that was initially written by Marty McFly, and it was later copied by by Chuck Berry. No, I think you're thinking about Chuck Lorre.
Oh, okay. So anyway, Chuck Berry made this show Big Bang Theory, and he thinks that nerds are still the kind of nerds that like wrote Microsoft in the fucking 70s or something.
Yeah, yeah, and not just like insufferable shitheads that argue with you on Reddit about like it was a manga first.
Put him in a Spider-Man shirt, he's a nerd.
Yeah, like the biggest grossing movies of the last decade weren't Marvel movies.
Jesus Christ.
Speaking of like stuff that's not even remotely related to what we talk about on this show, but also kind of, I saw this headline yesterday. It says that I saw this yesterday, but apparently this is from 2018. I'm just behind the times. It says Tim Allen says he's actually more of an anarchist than a Republican.
Well, you can fuck as many dogs as you want in anarchy.
That is true. There's no government there to stop you. There's only the dog brothel corporation that ensures that you'll pay whatever price they ask.
Yeah, the armed dog brothel corporation.
Military
unit.
This kind of ties into an article that you wrote this week, Jordan, but I figure we can, you know, just because it's, you know, in our wheelhouse with Tim Allen, we could just talk about this briefly and see the overlap with the thing that you wrote. When Last Man Standing was canceled, the reason it was canceled is because like the production company owned the rights to it, not the network itself, so it was getting too expensive for the network to keep putting on. But that didn't stop like a whole lot of chuds from saying that it was, you know, silencing the free speech of conservatives, as they are wont to do. No, just the invisible hand of the market jerking you off. He said that it was canceled because its a pro-man agenda was too dangerous for ABC. and its message was just too important to give up on. So anyway, he said in an interview with the Entertainment Weekly that he's more of an anarchist than a Democrat or Republican, because he only supports a government that actually does what we pay them to do. He hates paying taxes, and he doesn't trust the government to use those taxes properly, which I agree with. Maybe, am I an anarchist?
Simply must be the definition of anarchy, is that you just don't like it when you pay money for taxes.
Yeah. Well, as many many people in the comments on the Facebook posts pointed out, you know, Jordan, maybe you're wrong. Maybe you've got it all wrong. What do you think?
Well, if I have it wrong, then Webster's Dictionary has it wrong, because I helpfully provided in our article about one Jonathan Schaefer of Iced Earth, who said something quite similar to one Timothy Allen.
Dick, I believe is his name.
I'm so glad that his name is actually Timothy. I don't think we pointed that out enough as like an audience.
So in case people haven't seen this, but they should, totalofhell.com, John Schaefer from Iced Earth and what, Demons and Wizards? Demon and Wizard? Is that his band with the guy from Blind Order?
Demons and Wizards. Yeah, I mean, that was, I think that was like a quick two-off that he did with the lead singer from Blind Guardian, but I don't think they've made more music since.
They're doing live shows now. They're like headlining European festivals.
Oh, what the fuck do I know?
Yeah. And he's also in the band Sons of Liberty, which is, you know,
best, the Metal Gear Solid 2 themed band out there.
It's like songs about weeping bald eagles and the Constitution and what's the quote? Is it Jefferson or Franklin where it's watering the Tree of Liberty? Some other horseshit.
Yeah, yeah. The only way to... Something about if you want to water a Tree of Liberty, you got to do it with the piss of tyrants. I don't know. He was a syphilitic old man. He didn't quite have his words right.
Yeah, I think when the Founding Fathers, like the saying is, no taxation without representation. And I don't know why John Schaefer can't read more than two words in that sentence.
Well, I mean, we're all suckers for brevity. Why you use five words when you can say it with two? No taxation. Boom. Yeah. QED, boom. Libs.
Everything's fixed now.
So that's why Tim Allen makes that grunting sound. I get it now. It all makes sense. So... John Schaefer did an interview that I came across thanks to Blabbermouth.
Thanks, Blabbermouth.
As always.
His quote that kind of stuck out to me and made me write this article because it was just so funny and wrong. Quote, if somebody cares enough about the facts, they would look deep enough into what I actually stand for, which is really ultimate freedom.
Ultimate freedom.
My favorite Mortal Kombat game.
Right. Is that like a Verizon Wireless sort of package? Ultimate freedom?
Yeah, yeah. Where your shit rolls over.
See, yeah, it's like John Schaefer likes...
Knights, ultimate freedom.
Right. So John Schaefer likes ultimate freedom, but I subscribe to Ultimate Freedom Plus.
Oh.
Which is...
It supersedes his freedom. That means that you can make him your... you can add him to your fiefdom.
Right. Which means that if a neighbor's leaf lands on my lawn, then I will send my child sex slave soldiers over to his house to, you know, use the suicide bomb strapped to them to blow open his door so that I could use my multi-million dollar homing missile system to, fire at will.
Yeah, you know, props to Rand Paul's neighbor, who was annoyed by Rand Paul's leaves falling in his yard, that he went over. He didn't send his child slaves to do it. He, like a real man, went over there and broke that motherfucker's ribs himself.
He hurt him so badly that he sent him to another country to help.
Banished to the Shadow Realm, bitch.
So back to what Schaefer said. Quote, I'm about as close to an anarchist as you can be. I'm not a fan of government. I'm not a fan of the left. They're just as ridiculous as the extreme right. You follow the circle and you end up meeting. Both ends of the spectrum will end up at the same point at some point when you go extreme either way. So I don't really care. What got to me is that I'm about as close to an anarchist as you can be. He doesn't know what an anarchist is. He's not an anarchist. He's a libertarian, conservative-leaning goofus.
Isn't he also one of those types that's like, you better not kneel when the anthem is going on or whatever?
Yeah, definitely a flag-humping type of human being who definitely has all of his bootstraps and wears not only an American flag bandana, but he also wears a Confederate flag bandana. Hmm. And when he's not wearing either one of those, he's wearing an Oath Keeper's hat. So he's a real piece of work.
For the folks in the back, can you explain what an Oath Keeper is? I got a couple of couple of real chuckleheads in my neighborhood that have Oathkeeper stickers on the back of their pickup trucks, but maybe other folks don't know what that is.
Oathkeepers are an anti-government group that formed conveniently after the black man was elected president in 2008 that some people tend to forget, but they were heavily involved in conspiracy theories while still believing that the Constitution, they're loyal to the Constitution, which is another thing that Schaefer says in this article. And being loyal to the Constitution involves occasionally assaulting federal judges, occasionally assaulting police officers, claiming that they are false. They're not a real government. The government is fake. The Constitution never mentions any, like, modern laws, so any sort of enforcement of that is just tyranny. It's just absolutely absurd. And here you go. Yeah. There's John Schaefer showing all of his ass and people on the internet trying to defend him.
Yeah, no, it's just kind of funny. Like, you have this weird mishmash of, like, words that you've heard before that you just kind of smush into some kind of semi-coherent ideology. Like, I'm an anarchist. You know, I don't believe in the state except for this one that I am committed to defending the Constitution of.
Yeah, it's like, I'm pretty sure that the Confederacy was government. That was the idea. That's how that worked. I feel like the Constitution was a system of government that was being established. And then just to come out and say, like, no government ever. I don't like these taxes.
It's no government except for the government that I like.
Yeah. All the government stuff that really gets me rock hard, but then none of that other stuff.
And that's not what being an anarchist is. It's just not.
It's,
do you think
I don't know. Is it just like, You're still kind of like a rock and roll guy, so you don't want to just say I'm a goddamn Republican because it feels like selling out at that point, even though you believe in all the same things?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's that disconnect with it. From what I've heard, I have a friend that works with, like, kids in high school, and they'll get into politics a lot because, you know, it's on everyone's mind right now. And she works in a rural area, and they're all very much, like, they hate Trump, but when they get into talking about sort of policies and ideas and how they feel about things, they're still very conservative.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's sort of the similar thing. It's just like, we don't want to be this guy, but we agree with him 95% of the time. Right. We just don't want to say it.
I feel like over the last couple of years, like, more left ideas have entered the mainstream consciousness, especially recently. And I think when people are presented by those, especially people that, you know, maybe don't have as much opportunity to pull themselves up by the bootstraps, they're like, hey, you know, I don't find that disagreeable at all. I think it's just, you know, discourse in this country for as long as we've been alive has just been entrenched firmly within this right-wing realm of possibilities.
It's branding, a lot of it. You know, people don't like Obamacare, but they do like, you know, not spending thousands of dollars to get blood tests done and x-rays done.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah. For the record, I'm not a huge fan of Obamacare either, but it was better than what was there before.
Yeah, it was an attempt. An attempt was made.
You get a gold star.
I'll take a half measure over no measures or even losing measures. So
yeah,
it's a first step.
I think that I saw, like, recently something like 60-70% of people polled were like, yeah, I like this idea of Medicare for all. I like this idea of not going into medical bankruptcy. So
yeah.
This stuff takes time. Like I said, part of it's branding, part of it's older, entrenched generations going away with younger ones moving up into the voting age. Another thing that I've heard on an NPR interview is how whenever we tend to progress forward as a nation, the next election or the next, like, 5 to 10 years lurches back towards the right. It's like an instinctive reflex. So you have to deal with that as well.
And it's so interesting that you bring up branding, because I know the article you're referring to about how, like, 60-70%, a huge margin of American citizens say, yeah, free healthcare sounds great. But in the same article, I think they interviewed Republican politicians who said, well, we just got to get it out there how bad it is, and then you're going to see those numbers change. It's like, the moment they know that it's, you know, not on Team Red, that's the moment they're going to vote against it.
I, Maybe. Part of, going to the branding thing, I just think, you know, I'm from a rural area, deeply, deeply red part of the country, you know, Trump signs everywhere. And it's just like, I don't know, the cool thing for white men in these areas is just every kind of media that basically worships violence and the military and the cops. And it's just like, this is the cool thing to be in if you're a man aged, you know, 15 to 65 in these areas.
These are deeply masculine concepts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Guns, ammo, soldiers, police. It's just, they want to paint you as a huge pussy if you don't support those things.
Right. And it's really hard to, like, even if you're saying, like, hey, I'm going to give you healthcare and, you know, education, if you want to go to school and like, be a welder or something cool like that. And it's like, no, I'd still rather, like, you know, just jerk off to the cops. So,
and that's the deeply insidious shit we see with metalheads all the time.
Oh, they the militarization fetish. You see it across every subgenre of metal, except for, I guess, power metal. They're not so much into that.
Oh, come on, man. We got, I'm blanking. Who are the tank guys? Sabaton.
Oh yeah, you're right. God, I hate that fucker's face. Like, it just puts something. It just makes me mad. And they put out that video where, like, he was wearing big head mode version of his face, and it made me even more angry.
Is there a big head version of him that's not his own self?
It was kind of a cool concept for a video. It would have been better if I just didn't loathe his appearance so much.
That's great. We should just hate bands basically on how they look.
I mean, that's how I've been living, man.
I think that's called NSBM.
Well, I hate John Schaefer's earrings and his, like, Confederate flag, covering up his balding head. So maybe that's why I'm not as cool with Iced Earth. The hair game isn't happening anymore. We got to let it go, man.
I feel like all of this is kind of like, it's a red herring. It kind of gets in the way of a real conversation when you're distracted by a shiny muzzle. Like, you can't talk about anything deeper than, like, I love having a gun. Oh, I have a gun. It's fine. I don't need it. It's whatever. I think there's more important things happening.
It's true. I mean, you see countries that have lots of guns and not nearly as many problems.
Yeah.
With gun violence, Canada being an example. Canada's obviously not perfect, but it's definitely a lot closer
full of
than
Canadians,
America is.
Am I right?
Yeah, sorry. but the thing I mean with metal music is that you don't want to appear too sensitive. You don't want to appear at all leftist in your metal music, because it makes you look like a pussy. It makes you look like less manly. And there's so much masculine bullshit that's centered around heavy metal music and what's popular in heavy metal music. So I feel like a lot of guys don't really lean too many ways, but they're so quick to jump on the bandwagon of, like, shaming SJW rhetoric because they think that makes you look like a fairy.
If I can just, like, I don't know, think out loud for a minute, and if this pisses people off, please don't email me. Email someone else.
You can email me.
I never want to be that person that says both sides or something, because it's never true. But I kind of see a similar sentiment from some of the, like, quote unquote militant leftist metal bands too, where they put up the Antifa flag, and, you know, like, you know, decking yourself out in all black and stuff like that. It's still a very, militant kind of thing. There's no room for being a chill dude that you know, takes it easy. It's metal itself. It focuses on anger and power and the dynamics in between.
Yeah, there's always going to be that little part of me, because I'm still growing and learning and becoming a better person. But there's always something in the back of my mind when I see a tweet that says, you know, go get an ice cream, punch a Nazi. And I'm just like, why don't you just show me your form? Just throw a punch for me real quick and show me how that would look to most of the people that say this sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, there is a fair amount of posturing.
Just clout, vampirism, abound, and I get that, and I'm always going to kind of be privy to that sort of stuff, and there's certain people that get my radar up when I see them kind of throw that sort of talk around.
But and don't get me wrong, I'm an angry and a pussy both, so like yeah. I get it. I'm not a real mad pussy. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just saying what I say. saying what I see. Sorry. Yeah. You know, we contain multitudes.
It's like everything's a gray area.
In conclusion, metal is a land of contrasts.
Right. I mean, obviously that this is the breeding ground for extreme ideas. So why wouldn't it make sense?
I don't know where I'm going with this. It's just something I've been thinking about lately. I don't know. Just, these kind of thoughts ever cross your mind, Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, I'm skeptical about really everyone and everything, so...
yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you just gotta take things at face value, and other times, like, when we're on social media and people are speaking in definitives, you know... You just kind of take a step back and go, okay.
Well, the thing is, I know that you've personally, like, gone out to demonstrations and you've given, mm-hmm. like, right-wingers a hard time at these demonstrations. Mm-hmm. You're the guy that's physically done this stuff. But I notice on social media, you don't spend every waking second of your entire life bragging about it or showing videos of what you do or taking pictures of the people that you've confronted. You just kind of go out and do it when you feel it's necessary.
I don't feel the need to. It doesn't fully define me. It's not my one attribute. It's not my one personality trait. You know, I have my thoughts and feelings and beliefs, and I don't need to broadcast them all the time. Sometimes I do, especially when something happens. People will occasionally need a reminder that, hey, maybe, you know, Nazis are bad. Maybe
maybe,
you know, because people, we even saw this week with one of the other articles talking about first off was the trailer for the Lords of Chaos movie, and second was an article that you wrote, Joe, about the guy from Dysma.
Yeah. By the way, I got an update this morning. Craig posted on his personal Facebook that his old band Stormfuhrer is not going to be playing Hot Shower Festival in Italy is not related to pissing. It's actually about, you know, like putting Zyklon B in the shower heads at death camps. You know,
just, and this weekend, it's worth pointing out, is Holocaust Remembrance Day. So good timing.
Yeah, great timing. Yeah, so Craig Pillard, a lot of people have noticed it through the years that he's a tremendous piece of fucking shit. He's a Nazi. You know, you can go look at his Facebook page right now. He's got, you know, pictures of fascist posts all over it. In the 90s and the early 2000s, he had a project called Sturmfuhrer, named after some shock troops from them. Nazis? The music itself, because I made myself sit still and listen to it. It's just him making real shitty industrial beats, like in GarageBand, and then just ranting in a super nasal voice over it about the Jews and Jewish conspiracies. So it's pretty upfront about what it is. When Dysma, his band that gets major clout everywhere for some reason, despite it sounding like an Incantation ripoff, they got kicked off a couple of festivals a few years ago, and his band made the statement that Dysma is not political, not associated in any way with these things. Craig himself even made a half-assed apology, like, I used to be this way, but I'm not anymore. All bullshit. The band is currently signed to Profound Lore, where they've put out a couple of records. Chris Bruni, the label head of Profound Lore, is a huge Craig Pillard fanboy. You can take a look at his tweets throughout the years, where just tweet after tweet, gushing respect for this fucking chud of a man. And yet no statement from Profound Lore about one of the fellows on his roster being a card-carrying member of the Hitler, not youth, I would say it's more like a gross middle-aged man crew.
Hitler, middle-aged, gross middle-aged man youth. Yeah, sounds good. Doesn't roll off the tongue, really, which is why I had so much trouble with it. But we'll work on it. We'll workshop it.
I wrote this piece just to, like, you know, put the haters on blast, as it were. And yeah. Immediately some kid pops up in the comments, like, and I quote him here, what do you care? Let Nazis be Nazis. It's not like their scene is huge or has any real impact, which is, I don't know. Obviously, it refutes the entire point that I made in my post. Like, this guy is signed to, not a major label, but major in terms of this scene that we're in. You know.
The Nazis put their favorite candidate into the White House a couple of years ago. That happened. I don't know what else they need to know.
Yeah.
But what was interesting about Craig Pillard's apology, so to speak, was that his project, I think it was Stormfuhrer is what he was discussing, was he pretty much gave the basic Edgelord manifesto that this was made to shock and offend specifically. I don't hold these ideals. We're sharing them to shock people and offend people. And if you got offended, good. It did its job. That's sort of typical metal tough guy bullshit that we see a lot of everywhere.
Real specific thing he's trying to offend on. It's not quite Cannibal Corpse. I'm going to cut your head off and have sex with the stump. It's going real specific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real specific on one particular thing. He really does not like those. What did you do to him, Jordan?
I don't know. I can't even think of anything. My question goes back to you said you got a response saying Stormfuhrer isn't playing this festival.
Yeah, someone shared a screenshot with me this morning that he said that he's not playing it. But
so I guess my question is, were they scheduled to play it, and now there's bad press, so now they're not playing it?
Well,
rather than we were never going to play it.
And folks should know that I got eyes everywhere. I see everything. Yeah. People send me messages all the time to let me know what's happening. And a couple of these folks had conversations with Chris Bruni, who is apparently fairly distraught about the realization that the fascist that's on his record label was doing fascist things. So maybe yes. he was able to convince him to not make that trip to Italy.
So they were supposed to play, in other words.
Yeah. I mean, he was on that flyer for a reason.
Yep. Well, just in case there maybe it was another one, or maybe they put the name on by accident. I just want to be clear that his band was supposed to play this, and then they dropped off because they got press.
Seems that way to me anyway. Obviously, I don't know the full details. I guess we could have Craig on the show, but I don't associate with Nazis, so maybe not.
Yeah, deplatforming is kind of a thing, so probably not a good idea.
Yeah. But cool stuff going on, man. Cool stuff.
Oh, yeah, lots of fun. I mean, just been a good week again.
I do like, you know, as dumb as the world is, I feel like a weird shred of hope lately that things might turn out better. I don't know. Maybe that's ill-founded.
I can see that. I think that this kind of bullshit, like, it, we're going to go through it. Our generation, we're just going to go through it for the sake of the next generation.
We're the lost generation, as I've heard people call our generation, because between the economy collapsing and what we're going through now, we just all have mental health problems. We all have anxiety. We all have depression. But maybe the next generation will be good.
Right. It could go either way. It could just swing into a right-wing dystopia, or what the right-wingers think is a left-wing dystopia, which is actually maybe some progress for fucking a change.
Like, it seems like there's a very clear path in front of us where it's either the worst eco-fascism any of us can imagine, or it's an entirely new world that, like, we haven't fully imagined yet. And, you know, honestly, you know, hoping and praying every day that it goes with that latter one, even though it's looked for a very long time that it's going with the former.
Yeah, I mean, I can see how it might bum you out if you just don't like the way Mexican people look in your neighborhood. But at the same time, like, you know, look at all this fucking shit we're dealing with, just getting all hopped up about border security. And like, at the end of the day, I want to know why these people want to wall up so bad and what they think that's going to do, except, you know, they're going to get it up and they're going to wipe the sweat off their brow and see all the planes flying right the fuck over it because it's 2019. But it's just, I don't know. I feel like every Republican I've ever met, after enough digging and enough discussion over all the layers of how they feel, it's like, well, I'm really just a racist piece of shit, and I'm going to vote the way that makes me happy.
Yeah. And another thing, just a brief glimmer of hope. If I had written the same article about Craig Pillard 3 years ago, which I probably did about some other chud, I would have just been reamed out by randos on Facebook. And for the most part, it seems like folks have come to a consensus like this shit will not fly anymore. Maybe it's, I don't know, the world, the internet becoming more insular, and only people that want to see the things that we put out agree with us. But I'd like to believe that maybe the events of the last 3 years, folks are like, hey, maybe these fellas are onto something. I don't know. I could be alone on that. What do you think?
No, I think we're seeing a trend, and that's the way the world is going to go. I mean, you're like, I used to shit talk and say whatever I wanted, and I used to be of the opinion that, you know, anything can be made funny as long as it's made in the right sort of joke, which just didn't end up being true, and that you sometimes the only context you need is the fact that, like, I'm a white guy who had a middle class upbringing and I did a lot better than other people. So I think a lot of people are kind of realizing what's the best way to carry yourselves these days. And so you're going to see sort of a trend where it's just sort of falling out of favor with the general population if you act against how we're seeing progress go. One thing I always bring up to people is that I think the major point of social justice, and why I consider it social justice, is because it's not really how we're trying to shape laws. It's not how we're really trying to shape the Constitution. It's not really how we're trying to elect people, so on and so forth. I think that it's just an attempt to make a cultural shift, to just sort of make it like, okay, so for example, if you went to Japan, people would think you were really weird if you were just carrying a snack around on the streets, because nobody does that.
Really?
Yeah. So in Japan, if you just, like, walk around eating, people think you're fucking nuts. Like, you're supposed to sit where you are in a building or restaurant, whatever, eat that right there, and then throw it away right there, and then not walk around, like, eating stuff. Because they're really, they care a lot about pollution and cleanliness and things like that. Like, it'll get you a lot of dirty looks, but it's not going to get you arrested. It's not going to get you likely not beaten up or anything. But it's, you know, people are going to be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know, because it's just a cultural norm. So now we're making it so that certain jokes and certain ways you carry yourself and certain ways you act is against cultural norms. It's a cultural shift we're seeing. And I think that's kind of the major success, is that people will give you funny looks or treat you differently or be less likely to hire you or be less likely to associate with you if you act a certain way. Not necessarily throw you away and lock away the key, I should say.
Yeah, that's okay with me. Going to Japan soon, that's good to know. I'm not just gonna, you know, ride around on the subway eating Pocky.
yeah, don't do it, bro. There's no trash cans anywhere.
Yeah, doing the research for the trip, that's one of the things that I saw. It's like, you need to hold on to your trash, throw it away in your hotel room.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, just don't walk around eating things. People think you're a fucking nutcase.
I'm cool with, like, fufilling every stereotype of a slovenly American that they have.
Are you going to try to go to any shows when you're in Japan?
So I sent an email to the Matthew from Kala, who we had on the show, who sets up tours for Americans to see to see metal and hardcore shows in Japan, and I'm hoping that hopefully.
That's sick.
Yeah, hopefully he can steer us in the right direction. I know that there's a couple of things going on the time that we're there, so hopefully I'll get to see some pretty radical bands. And I'm most looking forward to, like, crate digging through the record shops in Japan and just picking up things that I've never heard of and I can't possibly read, and hoping for the best.
Yeah, I guess I guess you can't just grab random DVDs, though, because of regional stuff. But I think CDs would be fine.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know.
I one of the, like the first day that we were there, we're staying in the neighborhood of Akihabara, which the weebs out there will know is the anime and video game like headquarters of all of Japan. So
oh, I know.
You want me to pick you up a Gundam while I'm there?
Oh, you simply must. I will add it to my fine collection.
How about you, Jordan? What weird Japanese shit do you want?
I'll take one Godzilla, one Rodan, and some Japanese wrestling.
You're going to get a Mothra and you're going to like it.
Yeah. Mothra's okay. Mothra's in the top echelon of monsters. It's not like we're getting lower and lower like
Gamera?
Smog monster. Oh. Gamera, yeah.
Yeah, Mothra was a tough fight for Godzilla. I do recall that. But the good thing about Japan is that, of course, every gas station you walk into will have a fine selection of Godzillas for you to purchase.
That's my dumbass, like, you know, American ideal of how everything is. It's like, I imagine it's the cleanest place in the world, and every wall is stuffed with monster kits and the most vile pornography you can imagine.
And singing toilets.
And singing toilets, yeah, that'll be...
Right.
That's something I gotta read up on before I go.
Or, like, you just get into a fight with it. Like, fuck you, Kohomi.
Panty vending machines.
That too. me and my lady both have a bunch of tattoos, and I've heard that, like, there's some, like, places you can't go, like, with those open and visible, you gotta cover up.
Really?
Because of the long tradition of tattoos being associated with organized crime there.
Yeah, I knew about that, but I'm surprised to hear that they just, like Japanese kids just don't go around getting tattoos.
Well, it's only, like, within the last 2 years, maybe, that tattoo studios are legal in Japan. Previously, for, like, forever, you had to be a doctor to give somebody a tattoo.
Oh, no shit.
So I had heard all kinds of stories about, like... Like Sailor Jerry, that famous tattoo guy, he would just be chilling at his home in L.A. and he'd get a call from like the Yakuza, and he'd get on a flight. They'd pick him up in the airport, blindfold him, take him to like some undisclosed place. He would, you know, do a full bodysuit for some mafia boss, and then they'd give him just a shit ton of money and send him back on his way home.
How does that phone conversation go? Like. You know, hi, who's this? Hi, this is a Yakuza. Are you doing anything tomorrow? We'd like to fly you in.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how stressful that must be, though? Like, if you fuck up on this guy, like, he'll cut your dick off, you know? I guess it's fingers. They do fingers. Maybe that means something else.
Yeah. Well, I feel like most tattoo artists who know their stuff will be able to do, like, one of those myth dragons no problem. So I don't doubt his abilities there.
I'm sure another koi fish, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. They probably thought they were being really cool, too, when they asked for it.
A phoenix across the back, right, I got it.
Yeah, right.
I looked around for tattoo studios in Japan because I'd figured it'd be fun to get a tattoo while I was there. I was not really impressed with the quality of the portfolio that most of these guys had. I guess maybe because they just haven't been doing it for very long. Until I found one guy that just does exclusively like super gnarly kaijus and shit, and then I looked through his Instagram and saw that like he was tattooing like Post Malone the other day, and it's like, okay, well, I'm not gonna be able to get in with you.
Yeah, probably not. You should just get like some like super big-eyed magical girl in like a skirt with cat ears. Like a big anime lady.
It's one of those tattoos where you're just like, I gotta make sure that I never go to prison. you know, just
say Hello Kitty on your shoulder.
Yeah. Oh, I want to go in and ask for the most like white girl American tattoo possible. Like, can you give me an infinity sign going into a dandelion, blowing into birds, blowing into a peace sign?
The little butterfly on the edge.
Just
there.
Like breathe written in script underneath it.
Just get a tribal butterfly on your lower back.
Oh, that'd be tight. Yeah.
Yeah.
I digress, though. I got really off topic here because there was something else that popped up that I really wanted to hear Jordan tell us about.
So this is a minor thing that happened recently, but no other website or no one else has really picked up on it. It's just something that kind of tickled all of us, and is very in keeping with what we know about one David Mustaine of the band Megadeth. The website ultimateguitar.com had transcribed a conversation with Glenn Dover from an interview he did with The Metal Voice, and Glenn Dover, people will remember, played guitar for Megadeth for about 4 years, including on their album United Abominations, everyone's definitely 100% favorite Megadeth album.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So let me just read this quote from you and then tell you about what happened. So Glenn said, "Dave, I got along with him really well. He wasn't a taskmaster with me. I always went in very, very prepared. I did my homework so much that he really didn't question a whole lot. When it came to solos, I would do something and then Dave would go, 'Why don't you try something like this?' Dave was not singing all the notes in the solos. He just kind of mimicked the actual melodies and the flow of the tempo of the solo. That's what it was like for me. I can only speak for myself. I remember doing this one solo for the first song on the United Abominations album called Sleepwalker. The song wasn't going to make the album. Thank God it did, because it's pretty much one of the very few up-tempo tracks. There were too many mid-tempo songs, and we needed something that was going to be more of a fast one, but Dave didn't want to do it. In the end, what happened was that me and Andy Sneap did a demo of it and sent it for the record company. I said, 'Yeah, we're using this one.' So I guess Dave was overpowered on that. Sorry, Dave, but that's how the story went." So Ultimate Guitar had just posted on their Twitter a link to this article where they transcribed an interview done by someone else. And Dave had retweeted it saying, "UG, you disappoint me." He then tweeted the same, others, a further article talking about how Dave Mustaine says his label is demanding too many songs for the new Megadeth album. Dave Mustaine said, "WTF is with you. I'm canceling my membership to your site now that you are a gossip rag." Followed that up with, "It's pretty shitty a tab site I joined to learn guitar parts and spoke highly about would post anything, all caps, about any, all caps, of its users. How desperate are you guys? The fact you'll, quote, alter the parts that concern me is even worse. How do you say beat it in Russian?"
What does that fucking mean? What does that mean?
Are the Ultimate Guitar guys Russian?
I don't know. They even asked him, "Could you please clarify what part of the article you found to be gossip? We will be happy to alter the parts you find concerning. We here at Ultimate Guitar are your fans, and we did not intend to publish anything discrediting or harmful." They just transcribed an interview.
They literally quoted a guy word for word.
I'm still hung up on this Russian thing. Where did that come from?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe I'll Wikipedia Ultimate Guitar right now.
I used to visit something called Ultimate Guitar like Archive or something back in like the year 2000 to grab tabs. Is that what Ultimate Guitar eventually became?
Ultimate, welcome to the sweary headquarters of Ultimate Guitar, one of Russia's biggest tech successes. So I guess it's based out of Russia. Evgeny Naidenov.
Evgeny.
Is it Evgeny?
Evgeny.
How do you know that?
Because I'm secretly a Russian, not secretly.
I'm side-eyeing you, boy.
God, I didn't realize I was working with a spoiler for the 2016 campaign here.
Yep, that's just me, Evgeny Sanders.
Approaches a microphone in the bill's office, and with the word fuck begins his weekly 9 a.m. briefing.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's based in Russia, so that makes sense.
All right.
I didn't know that.
Problem solved. Yep. Not so much about him talking about how it's gossip and he's going to cancel his membership and all these other things.
Does he really have a membership with this site that, as far as I can tell, exists solely to put out shit that Blabbermouth collects?
You paid $10 once. $10 once and you're fucking part of this site forever.
Hmm. I'm gonna unsubscribe.
Well, apparently
he's got to know those Evanescence tabs.
Wake me up.
I guess this is like what became like the Ultimate Guitar Archive, because like there's a shit ton of tabs you can play on here. I guess I miss. Am I a member of this?
Ultimate Guitar?
Shit, I think I'm a member of this.
Yeah, man. Like you buy the, if you buy like the app off the, you know, Play Store or the Apple Store or whatever, it's like $10 once, and it gives you access to every single Guitar Pro tab they have all over the website. You can look up just about any fucking song you can think of. That's not like super, super underground.
Fuck, and
even some super
underground. I did join this in like 2012. I had no idea. I've been... I'm canceling my membership.
Yeah. They've been stealing your $10 that one time
that
since
one
2012.
That one time. I'm not okay with that. No wonder I didn't see it in my bank statements that I checked.
6 years ago. Well, seven.
Cool. Well... he doesn't do so good with criticism, that Mustaine fella, does he?
Really?
As far back as I can remember, he's been, like, he loves giving interviews where he blames his lead guitarist for whatever problem is plaguing him that week. Like, he woke up with back pain, like, it was Marty fucking Friedman's fault.
Right, this is the greatest hits of Dave Mustaine, is, somebody will interview him. He'll be like, oh, Lars Ulrich is a fucking douchebag and I want to punch him in the face until he's dead. I still will never forgive him and I'm going to kill him forever. Oh. And then they say, okay, and they literally quote him word for word. And then on Twitter, he goes, what a fucking gossip rag. You guys are just fucking spreading fake news. I would never say that about my little Polish buddy. And it's just like ad nauseum, rinse and repeat over and over. It's all he ever does is he like spouts shit and actually says it, and then he denies it or disputes or rebukes the publication that quotes him directly. Dave Mustaine really sucks. I don't know why he hasn't been canceled a long time ago. He calls every single audience member that doesn't act exactly as they should. Like he calls them all gay. Like every time you've ever seen him get mad at like an audience member, he talks about how gay the person is and how he should like drink bull milk and stuff. He's like not a good guy.
I was never under any like impression that he was like a cool dude or anything like that. But you know, at the very least, he's not like a sex pest, I don't think, or a straight up Nazi.
That's what we're going to have to do to get him canceled, guys.
Yeah.
Do your research. We're going to get him.
Right now, we're just going to have to settle for him being an angry soccer mom asking for the manager.
Right.
Because that's what these tweets are. It's just the internet version of going, sir, sir, excuse me, sir, excuse me, excuse me, sir.
Oh, it's my favorite thing on the internet when you call somebody in a position of power who is actively fucking you in the face. Sir, I do not approve of this new tax on being homeless.
This is not the appropriate kind of customer service that I was expecting from UltimateGuitar.com, and I would like to cancel my subscription, please.
I'm now picturing him on hold with Ultimate Guitar on the phone, like just brushing his like curly, ridiculous red hair out of his like drunken, puffy face.
Is he just the same looping 30 seconds on the phone of like peace cells?
Yeah.
Your call is important to us.
No, it's probably some like jazz bit. It's just over and over again. And he's just got to listen to it.
Once called up one of those things, it was like, it was important. It was like about payment to like the university I was studying at, and they just... It's like, press 1 to mute the audio while we put you on hold, and it immediately starts playing Mambo number 5. Just mashing the 1 button fruitlessly, nothing's happening, it's still yelling at me.
You were supposed to hit 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then it was...
Anyway, this reminds me of something I saw. I got an email from Toontrack, as I am wont to do, because I'm a purchaser of their fine products. Mm-hmm. And their latest innovation is their flagship product, Easy Drummer, which I think we've talked about on the show. Even though they don't pay us any money, it's pretty good, pretty cool product. I use Easy Mix for all kinds of things, including poorly mastering the show. But their latest innovation, game changer, man. Easy Bassist. Finally,
shit.
I can kick the fucking bass player out of the band, the most useless member of the entire band. This is the best news in the world.
I mean, here's the thing. As a guitar player, I can play guitar all day, every day. Play guitar, you know, 6 strings, chords. I can spin my finger in all sorts of impossible patterns you couldn't even imagine. But, fuck, man, that bass guitar, I don't think I could play my parts that way. I really couldn't. You know, the root notes, they're just too much. fretting one note on one string is just, I really need some kind of program to just help me out here and make sure that I can make my, you know, production as tight as possible.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's a common story, like, nobody wants to play bass. So you tell the guitarist to just play root notes on the bass, and that's that. There it is, rock and roll in a nutshell.
Yeah, historically, the bassist is just the worst guitarist.
Yes, that's absolutely true. The band that I was in high school, I played bass, despite having zero playing time with it. They're just like, yeah, you can play the root note. It's fine. They were wrong. They were wrong.
If you like single out a bass track, they're pretty sloppy a lot of the time in metal music. Like some really like high-end albums, if you just were to ever kind of focus in on the bass, all you hear is just like clack clack clack.
Yeah, did you ever hear the isolated bass track from Freak on a Leash?
Oh god, I'm going to now.
Yeah,
I can't even imagine.
I'm gonna play it right here. This was a diamond selling album. Just sounds like you're throwing a tennis racket at a bass guitar.
Fucking terrible.
We need to get the isolated gorilla noises from that track, though.
Oh yeah, we'll find them.
Yeah, that'll be useful for something. We'll find a use for it. Jordan, you ever play the bass?
Nope.
Any interest?
Nope.
Got the plug in for you.
But I could still do hot cross buns. Hot cross buns.
So what you're saying is you're the best bassist in the world.
Yeah, like,
I mean, should I hold the bass up really high, like Rhino from Mudvayne style, or do I go really low, like Fieldy style?
I will tell you, if you can do both those things, but if you go right in between, you look like a huge dork.
Yes.
So you have to either go really low or really high. Really high makes you look like super technical and jazzy. Really low makes you look like a badass rock star. But right there in the middle makes you look like a 13-year-old student.
Yeah, like the bass is just such a nothing instrument that you have like one guy who's pretty good at it, and it, like suddenly they're the greatest like bass focused rock and roll band of all time. Thinking like Primus here, you know, he's pretty good, but like nobody really wants to listen to that much bass.
We should I hope that in Easy Bass they have like a fretless bass that I can like a plug-in or a VST or whatever that I can use, and then I can just like overlay that on all of the technical death metal that I'm not going to make. But it's just like just constant snaky ass weird fretless bass.
Yeah, there's got to be a setting to make it sound extra farty.
I'm just cool. Really interested in Easy Mode O'Grader. Let me know when that happens.
Coming soon. It's going to be a premium download.
They should just make an Easy Metal pack that's just like pretty much anything on Bandcamp and just different tracks, and you can upload them yourself.
They kind of did. Like they have a bunch of producer packs for like Superior Drum or whatever that's like Andy Sneap or every other major metal release that sounds the exact fucking same. You can get all the producer packs that will make your music just as bland and uninspired as every major band out there that's been doing the same shit for 25 years.
I always kind of tell people that real drums, real instruments, it's kind of the barrier for entry to like make an album that people want to listen to. Those things are really cool to like write songs with, and then you can kind of show a drummer that you eventually meet, hey, this is the song I wrote, do you think you could work with this part or improve upon this part? And then I can see that, but just kind of what usually happens is you got this kid in his bedroom with his line six, and he has this horrible, horrible, awful, sloppy guitar tone being layered over this like really robotic, glassy, clean, high production drums. And it's just like, well, I'm on Bandcamp again.
We once got a track sent to us where you could hear the clipping in it, like the constant clipping sound throughout the entire song. I couldn't believe it.
It's like listening back on it, you're like, yeah, it's good enough. Let's go ahead and ship that.
No one will notice the click, click, click.
Yeah, I only use real studio drums for my Cybergrind project. Who's the weird guy on Facebook that asks everybody if they use
acoustic drumming?
It's Chevy somebody, some weird French Canadian guy.
And he goes on literally every single metal band's Facebook page and just talks about how...
Greetings, I was wondering if you use all natural, non-triggered acoustic drums for your performances.
Didn't they make like an entire meme page based on that guy?
Yeah, I'm conflicted on because that guy is clearly not all the way there, but it is very funny.
He gets into like long drawn out arguments in like Facebook Messenger with these bands too.
Oh yeah, and he gets mean real quick. They're like, yeah, we triggered the drums on this track. He's like, I hope you fucking die. I hope your children fucking die.
You are responsible for the murder of the beautiful music that I create. How dare you, sir? How dare you? I mean, you can make some good albums with, you know, don't get me wrong. It's been done to a point
well,
where
there's
Slugadigja
Boys. I don't think they use real drums. Those are
Slugadigja.
Typo Negative never used real drums on the recording.
I could never tell.
You don't need it.
Yeah, and I don't know. There's like that Rope Sect band that I'm all over. Those aren't real drums. That's, you know, you can make cool things happen with fake drums.
I'm pretty sure Ministry uses real drums, though.
Yes, I believe that.
Yeah, no. But, yeah, no, you can do it. I mean, but you can make them sound real. Like, you can actually mix it in a way. And I've seen how to try to mix it in the way that makes them sound real. It's not easy. You might as well just get a fucking drummer.
Yeah, you move individual hits to make them slightly off time so it doesn't sound totally perfect.
Yeah, you just, like, do a real weird clickety nonsense all over the MIDI roll and, like, these are ghost notes, just ghost notes everywhere. Now it sounds real. Yeah, okay.
Like, the entire... Honestly, I'm getting, like... I don't know, it's making me feel super anxious. The thought
just
of opening up the Easy Drummer again and trying to make something sound decent.
It's so fucking difficult. It's they should just call it Difficult Drummer.
So, anyway, I pre-ordered the shit, so when it comes out, we have everything we need to make Crotch Monster reality with minimal effort, hopefully.
You pre-ordered the Easy Bass, did you?
No, there's not an option to, but I would if they gave me that option.
Well, don't do that. I'll lay down some bass tracks for you guys because I'm a really good bassist. I can, I can tune. And the guitar strap, I have it in a way that it doesn't fall off.
You sure you can handle root notes played at like 16th speed?
I can probably do that when you just DM me what a root note is and what 16th means.
Well, there we go. Boys, we're going to be rock stars. Looking forward to us getting canceled. We're over time, but I would like to bring this up for a second because it came to mind, and well, it's my show. I'll do what I want. You posted something on Twitter the other day, and it jogged this to mind. You were talking about comedians that are into metal.
Yes.
And how insufferable that is.
Oh, yeah. Fucking stupid.
Like Jim Brewer, his whole thing being like, I'm crazy, I listen to metal!
Specifically who I was talking about, like I listened to Brian Posehn and he's kind of funny on his own. Like he doesn't have to bring out the metal thing, but he just always drags it out kicking and screaming somewhere in his set. And then like three people in his crowd like cheer and that's all he gets. And then there's like people cannot stop sending me that like bit by Steve Hughes. I don't give a fuck about that Australian guy who's just like a metal guy on stage doing his bit about being metal and how hey, people come rob me and they come in to try to steal my CDs and it's just rigor mortis. He 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 he. And I don't give a fuck. thank you for trying to reach out to me as a metal person with this thing that you thought I could relate to. I appreciate it, but please don't try again.
That's the pain of being a metal fan when you're friends with non-metal people, is anytime something is metal related, like Christopher Lee putting out an album, people will bombard your ass with that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess this is what gets me about being a regular consumer of metal, is that I don't need media that's tailored to me in this way. Like, you got to check this out, this is totally metal. Like, I don't want to listen to Jim Brewer's dumb bullshit about listening to Slayer in the garage. Like, I'm perfectly happy with Goat Boy, thank you.
And it's marginally happy with Goat Boy.
And it goes further. Like, I think Metalocalypse was actually pretty good for, you know, being metal-based media, because it was so fully ensconced in its own thing, like creating its own mythos, which was fun about it. But like seeing, like, I don't know, Deathgasm, like, did you guys ever see that one?
Deathgasm is a 1 out of 5 movie.
Yeah.
It's a fucking terrible movie.
It's like it's okay, so you're making this thing for this very specific audience, and because I guess you think they're starved for seeing their own interests represented, like, they'll just accept that it sucks.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody, yeah, that was another thing, is everybody sent me, did you check out this movie? Hey, you like metal, right? You see this movie? Funny story, back when That's Not Metal was still a thing, I was sent the movie to review, and I didn't want to review it because it was so bad, and I just felt bad about accepting it and saying, yeah, I'll review it, because I thought I was going to get to see a free movie. But the movie cost me part of my soul because it was so fucking terrible. So I just, the guy kept emailing me over and over again. So I put up just this really kind of like half-assed review about how I didn't like it that much, as opposed to just reaming it like I properly should have. So I wish we could revisit it. I know there's been a dozen reviews by every website on this stupid fucking movie, because there had to be, but oh God, it's the worst. There's not a single good thing that happens in this film that's redeemable about it. The kid, like, loves fucking Trivium.
Poser.
Yeah, he's a poser. They got, like, this woman in there who is like a plastic doll with no personality, who's just like, what is metal music? Is it good? And then he's like, you gotta listen to it here. And she's like, oh, I like it because you put it on my head for me. It's just stupid as shit. And she turns into like a fighting fuck toy, and it's just so terrible. I wish it never existed, and I wish I never existed so I'd have to watch it one day.
So, did you see that one, Ewan?
No, I think I had it in my queue for a while, and then I just heard everyone hating it. So I'm like, well, I'm not going to bother now.
Oh, you should see it. It's great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, you sold me on
it. Yeah, no, don't listen to me.
Well, it's like that Netflix show, the Agretsuko or whatever, about the red panda that becomes totally black metal or whatever. Like, I just never show me this. I don't want to see this.
I actually did watch that show, and I found it entertaining, just because it's actually kind of relatable.
Okay.
In a lot of ways.
Maybe I misjudged.
Well, yeah, it's about being miserable at work, but then, you know, becoming yourself through metal, so that's nice.
All right, I guess that's a little bit more relatable. I guess it all kind of ties in. I guess the reason why this show is so unsuccessful is that people don't want to keep hearing about metal. They just want to listen to it.
Well, if there's a podcast that can dedicate everything they do to just Iced Earth, and they are very mad at us, so I can't wait to hear that episode, I think we're doing okay.
Well, you gave them the first thing they could really talk about for how many years now?
Just imagining listening to this show, like, hey man, you ever hear that one song? Kicks ass, right?
One of my favorite, if they invite me on that Iced Earth show, I'm just going to talk about how it's like in the in the horror show album, he talks about how, like, he wrote these songs about all these different books that he read, but then you listen to the Dracula song and the lyrics are specifically about that movie they made in the 90s that had nothing to do with the book.
Oh, hell with yeah. Keanu Reeves.
With Keanu Reeves, that's right.
I hope that they get John Schaefer on the show one day. He's just going to be like, man, do you remember when you played that guitar solo? It was awesome, man.
That was tight. Sick.
So yeah, there we go. This show, this entire 165 episode run was dumb because we didn't fully commit to the bit that I guess that's the thing that metal fans want. So in the future 165 episodes, we will fully commit to the bit and be entirely enthusiastic, horn throwing metalheads.
Heavy metal. About Fintroll specifically.
About what?
About Fintroll specifically.
Yeah, Fintroll and Trivium and Sabaton.
Well, that's a good one. I would listen to that podcast.
You looking forward to that, Jordan?
No. Do we have to?
Gotta get those Patreon pledges up somehow, buddy.
Fine.
Well,
speaking of which, please subscribe.
Oh, yeah, we have a Patreon. Yeah, subscribe to it. We have bonus shows. I did two this month. The latest one I did with Justin, who is a super rad dude. He has been a metal fan for 40 fucking years, and like super into it. Like he's from the tape trading days, like putting out ads in your like local metal magazine to like trade tapes with other people and all kinds of cool shit like that. He's talking about all these forgotten bands from history and you know, just the joy of finding something that maybe another person out there cares about and sharing that with them, which is a good and not bad thing. So that one was all about love, not whatever we were just talking about.
Yeah. You hear that, everybody? You want a good episode, you're gonna have to fucking pay for it.
Yeah, we were not negative on that one. We were positive. So yeah, subscribe to the Patreon. You can listen to that one and a whole shit ton of other episodes. Review us on iTunes, I guess, or well, I don't care. Just listen to the show. Tell your friends about it.
All right. Thanks, dudes.
We'll see you next time where we'll be. It'll be the Jim Brewer hour.
Keep it metal, bros.
Keep it metal.
I'll keep it metal, Jim Brewer.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.